You're listening to the Study Clicks podcast, your number one source for Leaving Cert tips and advice. Hello and welcome back. I'm Luke.
I'm Andy.
And I'm Erin.
And today we will be having a discussion about managing study guilt and procrastination. I'm a chronic procrastinator and I think maybe other people in this are. I think we all kind of talked about this before and we all, well, maybe, oh, Andy just looked at me like he wasn't. So maybe like this
is... No, I definitely probably was. Sorry. I was just trying to give myself more credit than I deserve.
But before we do that, I thought I would let you guys know about Irish Boost, which is brand new to our site. So Leaving Cert Irish can be super tough, as I'm sure you all know, but StudyClick's Irish Boost makes it a little bit easier with over 140 exam-focused video lessons covering grammar, essay writing, and oral prep, along with 300 plus interactive exercises to sharpen your skills. It's everything you need to feel confident heading into paper one and two. And for podcast listeners, that's you, here's €10 off. Just use podcast10 at checkout and go to studyclicks.ie to get the extra help you need before the Leaving Cert. So, guys, speaking of the Leaving Cert, study guilt. It's something that I experienced in Leaving Cert. It's something that I experienced before Leaving Cert, in Junior Cert even, and it's something that I experience extortionately now that I've left school and I'm still pursuing studies. So I feel like it is something that kind of follows people no matter what they do or how intense the exam is. Is that kind of something that you would agree with?
Definitely. I think it's hard to feel ever like you're doing enough. I think it's easy to get bogged down about what you're not doing rather than kind of focusing on what you actually are doing and have done. Like I know in Leaving Cert, like I'd constantly just be thinking about like what I have left to cover, or like if I was feeling like tired a particular day, I'd be like annoyed at myself because I like haven't done enough study as I'd maybe like to and stuff. I think yeah, it is just kind of a constant thing that you can't really escape from.
Well, that sounds really that's so positive, Erin. No, the point of this podcast is that we are eventually going to tell you how it is you can escape from it. It's not forever. Yes. No, but like you said, it kind of is that feeling of even when you are doing study or trying to study, thinking about all of the things that you should also be doing study wise. Mm-hmm. Like I think the way that I procrastinate most, I feel like they go hand in hand. I was talking about this before, but I feel like procrastination and study guilt are an endless cycle. Like when you're feeling guilty about study to the point that you want to procrastinate, but then if you procrastinate too much, you feel so guilty about not studying, and it goes like in a constant circle, and they just like feed each other. And it sounds all very daunting, and it kind of can feel it too. But like that, I think that the thing that I procrastinate most is like, or how I procrastinate most is sometimes I'd be procrastinating by studying. Like I study things that I already know, or like I study things that are like easy that you don't need to study. And I'm like, well, I'm taking a box, like I'm doing something. But like, really, I know, like subconsciously, I'm avoiding studying the real things that I really don't understand.
I was very guilty of that. Like I used to, for like biology, I do like my favorite chapters over and over again, even though I like knew them inside out. And then there'd be ones I just wouldn't have a clue of that I'd just avoid because it was easier. Like I'd still feel like I was being productive, but like the reality was it probably wasn't that productive because I just wanted to feel like I was. But it's so easy to kind of just do things that are comfortable instead of covering things that might be more beneficial to you.
But yeah, experiencing studying guilt is just extremely normal, I think, and that I kind of think that it comes from a point, like I know that when I play sport and stuff and everything like that, or when I'm big into theater and stuff, and you know, when people get nervous and stuff before going on stage and before going into a big match, that just means you care. And that's kind of the same thing that I apply to this. If you get study guilt and stuff, you know, it means you care about your results, or maybe, you know, doing well for people close to you, your family, friends, that kind of thing. And if you weren't feeling any of that, I'd be concerned, because it would be like, I'm not studying and I don't actually care. I don't even feel guilty about it at all. And it's just like, I'm just going to cruise until I fail everything. So it's hard to get past, but it can also incentivize you to kind of work a little bit harder if you can figure out how to kind of channel it the right way.
Yeah, it's like you said, it can be kind of a positive thing. I don't want to say that because I mean, feeling guilty isn't necessarily a positive thing, but it can be an incentive. And like you said, if you're feeling guilty, it means that you actually want to, like some part of you wants to be able to open up a book and study, or to at least tick the box of saying that you tried.
Yeah,
exactly. And it kind of can be that little thing that gets you over the edge. what I find is like when I do start getting concerned if an exam is drawing close and I'm not feeling guilty about not studying, that's when I'm like, oh God, like I obviously just don't care about this subject, or like don't care about my grade or how it'll reflect, or, you know, like what it'll mean. Say if it's like an unimportant test, so, or a test that is deemed unimportant by me, but maybe to my teacher is an important one. So like I rarely felt, for example, study guilt for class tests. Like if you know, I just had a busy week and I had a class test on a Friday, but I was, you know, doing something every evening, or, you know, was in school and we were doing something more fun in such a class, whatever, and I wasn't really worried about it, I'd never feel guilty about something like that because the stakes were pretty low or non-existent in some cases. Whereas like for things like the mocks, for the real exams, like junior and leaving cert, it really can get to a point where it's like overwhelming, and where it becomes actually like it impedes you from studying. Because like that, you sit down, I think Aaron, you had said there, like you're sitting down, you're trying to study, and all you're thinking about is all the stuff you haven't done yet, so it like puts you off studying at all. It's like that constant feeling of like being overwhelmed. Have you experienced that, Aaron? Like the kind of overwhelming kind of everything, you know, you're studying say ecology, but all you can think about is how you know nothing on DNA or whatever. I don't know. Me trying to think of biology topics.
No, I know, that's the thing, it's such an overwhelming year in general, I think, but it's so easy. Like I know I wasted so much time just stressing myself out about how much I had left to cover, and like it'd get to a point where like I just wouldn't do anything. Like I'd be like, okay, I need to do this, and then like I'd like try and, you know, figure like plan out an evening of studying, and then I'd just get too kind of caught up in what I was worrying about that I just would end up doing like nothing. And it like wasn't that I didn't care about getting them done, because I obviously did a lot, but it was just hard to like physically get myself to do them, because I think I just didn't know where to start a lot of the time, because I built it up in my head to be such a big thing, when, you know, a lot of the time if you just kind of break it down for yourself and think, okay, like I've done all of these things already, and you know, like you can only do so much as well, like you're only human, you're only capable of like doing a certain amount of things. Like you're in school for such a long time anyways. I'm not saying obviously do study, but like, you know, you're in school for such a long day, like you probably have things on in the evenings as well. Like if you don't feel like whipping out the books for like hours and hours after all, after like a what, 12 13 14 hour day, like it's normal sometimes, and you have to be fair to yourself as well. Like you can't expect yourself to, you're not a robot. So I think, you know, definitely do prioritize study and do like map things out for yourself wherever you can. But if there's days where you just like can't handle it, like that's okay too.
And I think that kind of brings us on very nicely to kind of the, when you have this extreme, like what we've just described, the feeling of, you know, I feel guilty, so I'm going to procrastinate, but then I feel more guilty, so I'm going to procrastinate more. When you have that, it kind of hard to see how you combat that, or like you said, how you actually make a start. So I kind of just wanted us to have a quick discussion about, you know, when I'm feeling guilty, or when anyone's feeling guilty, what should you do to combat it, to kind of get out of that, you know, thought pattern. For me, like I found it was writing things down, like literally thinking to myself, okay, well, what do I need to do? Writing in a list, like 1 to 10, 1 to 50, depending on how much I had to do, and then going one by one and crossing them off the list. Again, like sometimes I then, you know, would do things that are like, I'd do all the small topics, all the easy topics first, so I felt like I was doing something. But that's okay too. Like you said, like the topics have to get done anyway. Like you do have to do those small things. You do have to tick those boxes. So if that's your way of easing your way into it, then cross off those easier ones that you like first, and then by the time you get to some of the tougher ones, you'll be in a rhythm. But that'll be my like number one piece of advice for anyone feeling guilty: make a list start to finish of all of the things you have to do. It'll feel daunting at the time, and you'll realize maybe I have a little bit more than I actually even thought. But once you have that list and it's on pen and paper in front of you, then you can start attacking them one by one.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's giving yourself proof, or showing yourself that you have actually done more than you think. The way I did that was, I had a study app in sixth and fifth year, and there's loads of these. Like there's not one specific one, I'd say there is like hundreds of them. I remember looking on the app store, if you just literally look in study tracker or something like that. And basically what you do is you're sitting down to study. You might say, I'm going to study for 40 minutes or an hour. And then you put in, okay, I studied history for an hour, and that's there. And then it'll put it into like bar charts and graphs, and you start doing that maybe 3 weeks ago. And after 3 weeks, you'll look back and you'll see, okay, I've actually done 6 hours of history study, 12 hours of Irish study, and all the study that you forgot that you've done, or the work you forgot you've done, you actually see, okay, well, I actually did more than I thought here. And you know, I need to give myself some credit, or it'll make you feel better about yourself that you haven't just been, because we all remember the times we didn't do anything, or, you know, the times we weren't doing stuff. So it's important to remember, okay, all the work I have done, and to have actual proof, like it's there for you, and it just builds up. So the longer, if you do it for 2 months, then you can go, oh my goodness, I've studied maths for 40 hours in the last, like, 2 months. And it makes you feel kind of, it'll definitely calm any kind of rising, I'm not prepared, I've not done anything, because you can actually have the proof there. Okay, it's right there, and I did the hard work.
And that's nice too, being able to, on the days when you have, like, maybe kind of thrown in the towel and given up a little bit, you're a little bit overwhelmed, to be able to look at something like that, like you said, like a progress tracker, or, you know, like even my kind of slightly less technologically advanced just sheet where I'm crossing off things, and to be able to think, well, I have that much done, or I've done that many hours, or I've you know, kind of to prove to yourself, okay, well, like, today's not a good day, but I have done some before, so I'm allowed to feel a little bit guilty, I'm allowed to just kind of chill at home and not do any study today, because, you know, I have that little bit done. So kind of keeping track of yourself, so that when you do kind of get out of the rut and do a bit, you can remember that and kind of use it to kind of say to yourself, it's all right if I'm not 100% on the ball all the time, but also to kind of prove to yourself that you can be on the ball, and when you are, you get things done. I think, Aaron, we had talked before about like a different kind of app. You used the Forest app, that I used to use it as well. But basically, it's like an app where you plant trees depending on how long you study. Because I think, like, procrastination, I mean, how can anybody in this day and age, 2025, not procrastinate when they have, like, a tiny box in their hand that can, like, give them the answers to everything in the world, and, like, social media, and you can scroll for hours in, like, a bottomless pit of, like, entertaining videos of, like, AI dogs turning into cats. Like, I just don't understand how anyone's expected to not get addicted to things like that and not to procrastinate and scroll for hours. But so I think the main thing why this relates to the Forest app is because the Forest app kind of stops you from looking at those things when you go on your phone or use an app, or, like, you know, check something on your phone. Like the tree that you're trying to grow on the Forest app, it sounds crazy, but the virtual tree you're trying to grow, like, dies. And there's loads of variations like this. There's, like, the ones that, like, pets, and you, like, have a little cat, but if you like use an app, like, the cat starts dying. But it's kind of things that seem silly like that can be so beneficial. And I think you had said about setting timers or something.
Yeah, like, I know what you mean. It's just, it's kind of nearly impossible to avoid the distraction. Like, it's so, I find as well, like, your attention span becomes so bad, and that's why people kind of, you know, it's hard to kind of sit down and just study. But I think, yeah, definitely apps like that where you're kind of incentivized to, like, you know, study for, like, a certain amount of time, or, like, yeah, that you get something out of it, like planting a tree or whatever it may be. I think, like, the hardest thing to do ever is just, like, get started, because once you started something, like, it becomes so much easier. So I think, like, you know, setting a timer and just, like, saying, okay, I'm gonna study for, like, even, like, 15 minutes or something, if you just do that, then, like, you'll feel better about yourself because you've done it. And so I think apps like that, or, like, honestly, just, you know, setting a timer on your phone can be really beneficial sometimes.
Just going back to basics there, like, just turning off your phone and leaving it in another room is huge.
I found it turned into, like, a little bit of a game as well when I kept seeing the hours go up. You might even just do, like, 20 minutes of study if you're feeling really tired. Well, I'll just clock in 15, 20 minutes, because, you know, keep going.
Just clock into, like, my shift.
Yeah, it's also a really good way of seeing what you're studying the most, or your study pattern kind of thing, because I'll see, oh my goodness, I'm spending 40 hours on maths because it's the hardest, and maybe I only spend 15 hours on music in the last while or whatever. And maybe that's because I'm better at that, or maybe you're finding something that I'm studying loads more because it's your favorite subject. And that's just a way of seeing, trying to see, you know, some things will need more study than others, like maths definitely, but trying to see that you're giving everything equal attention and not forgetting about everything, because it's easy to get caught up in the thing you're worst at or feel weakest at, and then neglect other things.
I think as well, study timetables can be huge for that sort of stuff as well, because they kind of keep you accountable. You know, if you write down, I'm going to study this for 40 minutes and this for an hour, and, you know, kind of map out your study, you kind of just think to yourself, right, if I do what I have said that I will do, I'll feel a lot better about myself. And we actually have a lot of kind of free to download, free to fill out your own study planners on the website. If you just type into the search bar study planners, it's on our blogs, and you can see, like, ones that you can print out yourself. And I found them extremely helpful. I think that kind of idea of holding yourself accountable, so, like, kind of similar to, you know, when you're turning off your phone or when you're keeping track of your hours, that, like, you can say to yourself, well, I did that, like, I gave that a go at least. It really is just about trying to make yourself feel as good as possible about the study that you are doing, so that you don't feel as bad about the study that you're not. And I think as well, like, passive study is a huge thing. I think, like, if any type of study for me that it doesn't feel like pen and paper, writing things down, is like, I'll do that in a heartbeat in comparison. Flashcards, anything interactive, watching a 5-minute clip,
quizzes,
on, you know, quizzes, like, you know, yes. I'm just naming StudyClick's features at this point. I truly am naming StudyClick's features.
The quizzes.
But it is true. Yeah, it's quizzes are unbelievable for that sort of
They're
stuff.
They're like a little game, but you're still learning. It's amazing.
Yeah, I know. It's low-key sad. Like, sometimes I'm like, this is fun.
Yeah, it is, the though. Oral,
I'd, like, record myself doing, like, saying my, hello, my name is Andy and ich liebe, and all this silliness. And I'd be walking around the park, walking my dog, listening to myself speaking German, and then it doesn't feel like you're doing anything, but then in maybe, like, 3 days, it's just in your head and it gets stuck, and then you just, it comes out. So all these kind of little things, like cheat codes to studying.
That is so true. The podcast thing, like, I don't know if anyone's ever watched Friends when, like, I can't remember who it was, tries to learn French in their sleep by listening to it in their ears. But, like, I don't think that's going to work for reference, guys. StudyClick is not telling you to, like, listen to notes in your sleep. But kind of having something on, like, having the background noise when you're out for a walk, say, if you just are at your desk and nothing's going in and you're just really fed up, if you pop on a podcast about a poet that you're studying instead, StudyClick has a lot of them on our podcast page on StudyClick Explains, and just, you just pop in your headphones and go for your walk, you're taking in so much information. Like, you know, I listen to lots of, like, not study related podcasts, and, you know, a couple of days later I could still tell you what they've discussed in the podcast that I listened to maybe last week, you know. I could tell you the main points, I could tell you, you know, what happened when or what they discussed. If you can do that, but for a podcast about Evan Boland or, you know, a Seamus Heaney, then you've really just done the work for yourself when you're literally out walking around with your dog.
Yeah, you take in so much more than you might think. It's a really good way of just, like, casually retaining information.
I think listening to this podcast counts too, guys. So if you're listening to this while procrastinating, like, close enough. Are we giving you any content that you can learn? No, but these are important important tips too. I think as well, Netflix series. Did you ever watch those? I know you both studied French. You did German, or did you, Andy?
I did German.
Or were you just speaking? What language was that? German, sure. So yeah, I did French.
Erin,
did you do Spanish? Oh, guys, we're so multilingual here. Well, actually, for reference, everyone, Erin's fluent in both Irish and Spanish, so she kind of has a little step above
fluent
me. Unless Andy's fluent in German, but yeah, I used to, when I didn't really want to study French, I would just put on a French, like, movie or TV show, and I'd pretend it was, like, the listening exam with the subtitles. I used to put the subtitles on, but like that, just little subconsciously, you would be taking in little words that you wouldn't otherwise know.
Definitely,
Mm-hmm. And you feel better about yourself.
Some of them are really good.
I'm watching a TV show in German. Look at me. And then you come in tomorrow and you tell your friends, what were you doing last night? I was watching Ich liebe mein Wolf, and you were watching Friends, and kind of, it's like, I'm always
And then once they're finished laughing at you, then, like, they think to themselves, no, I'm joking. But, like, it definitely is beneficial. And, like, that, this kind of idea of passive study to just make yourself feel better, when you really don't want to, like, get stuck into some, like, big, massive, heavy textbook. As well, what I referred to it at the start of the video, but Irish Boost, and in fact any of the boosts on StudyClick, they're a lot more interactive than normal notes. So it's kind of like drop down menus and like interactive flashcards and videos, and you're watching things, kind of anything like that. Watching videos can be a little bit more digestible when you really aren't in the mood to study.
I think for, like, trickier topics like maths and things, especially, like, if you don't really grasp a certain concept, it can be really helpful to, like, watch videos and things, actually breaking it down to wrap your mind around it.
Can I just touch as well on the amount of, or not the amount of, but the, because we all know the person who kind of comes into school and will tell you how much they studied every day just to make themselves kind of feel better about themselves. Mm-hmm. Or maybe it's just their little way of kind of reminding themselves that they did that last night, and that's fine. But that can really affect, I know it kind of affected me a little bit. I was comfortable enough within my own self and my own study that I knew that, like, everybody requires a different amount of time to get the same amount of kind of work done. And that, like, someone could study for 4 hours, or some people study it, like, I know there's, like, people who study, like, at, like, 2 a.m, because that's when they think they're most productive and that kind of thing. But it doesn't mean that they're, like, doing more than you, or they're, like, you know, working harder than you. You could do 1 hour and do just as much valuable learning in that same time. Like, I remember when I did the biology exam, one of my friends sat there for the whole 2-3 hours or whatever, how blooming long it is. And I left after, one of the first people to leave after about 50 minutes, and I got a better grade than them. This is just the way things work, you know.
Everybody is different.
Everybody's different, and it's, don't feel like, you know, you might feel like you've done one hour of really good study, and someone will come in and say, well, I studied for 4 hours, and, you know, then you're kind of feeling, oh, well, maybe my study isn't as valid, or as, you know, you don't feel as good about it then. But, like, you've got to remember that everybody's different, and that...
I think as well, like, people used to come into school and be like, oh, I just studied this morning. Like, they'd be getting up at 5 o'clock in the morning and studying. Like, for me, that would never work. So in that sense, I never... Exactly. In that sense, I would never think to myself, oh, I'm not doing what they're doing, because you'll never catch me studying in the morning before something, ever. Exactly. Like, everybody is different, and it's kind of so important not to compare yourself. Obviously, we've said before, I mean, we've really rattled it home now at this point, of, like, don't compare your grades to people and don't compare how you do, but also don't compare your study, how you study. Some people use these, like, crazy techniques where, you know, they read this thing where it's really helpful and useful and works for a lot of people technique. I can't think of a name of one now, but, you know, it's very, like, you know, kind of, oh, the Pomodoro technique, I think, is one of them. And there's loads of these, like, really cool techniques that have cool names, and, you know, they study for 40 minutes and then they don't, and then they do, and then they don't. But, like, while it's great to have these techniques, really the technique that's going to be best for you is the one that works for you. So if your technique is to study for an hour, then get up and jog around your house and then study again to, like, get your adrenaline going, do it. Like, you might look insane and your neighbors might think you're crazy, but you should always do the thing that works best for you, not that works best for your best friend.
And these people, like, if you study so much now, you will likely encounter some sort of burnout, and you may not admit that to yourself, but you'll become extremely grouchy, and people around you will not want to be around you anymore because you were getting consumed by study and then you're so tired. And, like, so many studies are done on the importance of, like, sleep for retention of what you, if you did, like, 2 hours of study that night and you slept for 8 hours, you're going to remember, like, 80% of it, compared to if you, say, study for, like, 3 hours into, like, 2 a.m. You have to sleep for, only get 5 hours of sleep, and you're up again at 7 or 8 for school. Like, 50% of that is gone. I'm pretty sure there's loads of studies that show exactly the importance of sleep for brain retention. So all these things, you got to be thinking about these things when people are going, I studied for 7 hours last night.
Yeah, definitely. Like, don't feel guilty because somebody else did more than you. That shouldn't be the reason you feel guilty. The reason you feel guilty is because you're not studying. No. The reason you should feel guilty is because, you know, you're not doing what you want to do.
Telling you to study, the reason I'll study after.
Everyone study after this. But, like, yeah, the reason you're feeling guilty shouldn't be because, you know, you're not studying as much as your friend, should be because you're not studying as much as you kind of think you want to, and you're not studying to the level that you think you'll need to study to get the grade that you want. This is why you're feeling, that's why I feel guilty anyway. When I'm not studying, I'm kind of like, well, okay, I'm not studying, but I do want to get a H1, but I'm not going to if I don't start studying. That's really where it all starts. And I think as well, Andy, you briefly touched on it there, and we'll probably do an entire podcast episode on this because it's a huge topic in itself. Sometimes when you give in to the guilt a little bit too much and go a little bit too ham on the studying, this whole other problem of study burnout happens, which is, like, the other end of the scale, but has a very similar level of, like, it's not productive to be burnt out and to study while burnt out. It can be frustrating. It can be easy to procrastinate. Like, it kind of is two ends of, like, the same scale, and neither of the two extremes are good. But kind of like I said, we'll probably have to do an entire podcast on that, because it's something that, like, I know I definitely struggle with, and I think a lot of Leaving Cert students especially do, because the course content is just huge. But as well, I kind of want to talk about kind of incentivizing yourself to study. I feel like, you know, your only your end goal obviously should be a good incentive. So like I said, say if you want to get a H1 or H2, or in some cases, you know, even if you just want to scrape a pass or get an O, whatever, that's a great incentive to kind of want to do that. But sometimes that's literally not enough for the day to day. Like, you know, if I'm trying to study 3 months out from an exam, I'm not thinking to myself, oh, well, like, I'm going to be delighted on results day. I'm, you know, that's not motivating me there and then. That sometimes those bigger picture ones can be hard. So, like, I just like to set, like, little incentives for myself, like, you know, getting a little sweet treat. Like, it sounds cliche, but, you know, it really is the case. Are you the same?
Yeah, like, even just like a thing of, like, oh, if I get this essay done, or if I cover this topic, then I can spend the rest of the evening, like, you know, watching a film, or, like, have something nice to eat, or, like, just little things like that kind of make you feel like it's like a reward. Almost.
It's like a reward.
Yeah, I remember I had a thing that I kept from first year till sixth year, and I was like, oh, this is never going as long as I'm studying, and I was that I never studied on a Friday.
Oh, that's got going.
Yeah. And then I always knew that, was like, I never felt guilty about it, because it was like, I've done this for 6 years and I still get okay grades and I'm fine, and I can take a day off where I do nothing. It was, I had hockey on a Friday, which would go to like six, so I got in at like six. Also, every Friday we'd have pizza, so it was like the best day ever. And it was like, and then my best friend, he started doing the same thing around like fourth year. So then it was like Friday night was the night we'd all like hop on Xbox, you know, you can play, do whatever you want. And you don't feel guilty because that's like the thing you've set from the start. I'm not studying on this day. Nothing can change that, no matter how bad I feel. I'm always, and I was like, we don't study on Fridays. We had like this catchphrase thing. It was crazy. I'd recommend that to anyone. Pick a day where you just, this is my day. I don't have to worry about studying and don't feel guilty about it, because that's, you need something like that, I think.
Sometimes I don't study. Sometimes I tell, like, I have a friend that once said that she doesn't study when it's dark outside, which is kind of funny because, like, depending on the time of year, that can be way, way earlier than other times. Or, like, she shouldn't study when it's dark outside. But I kind of like that, too. Like, I kind of think that was that, you know, your pizza Friday, no study day, Andy, that's both an incentive and, like, also a reward. Like, an incentive. Yeah, like, it kind of ticks both boxes. But, yeah, setting that kind of thing, of that boundary of, like, okay, even if I can limp on until 8 o'clock every evening and study and do something productive until 8 o'clock and just down tools, close the laptop, close the books and go downstairs, watch something, you know, what, play hockey or whatever you're doing, and kind of have that boundary for yourself is so important as well. Yeah, I think another thing is sometimes just accepting that you're not going to do any study that day. Like, you know, like when you're trying and like nothing's going in, or you feel just completely at a loss, or you feel overwhelmed by all the study, like just kind of giving up that day and saying, oh, okay, I'll try again tomorrow or the next day, or maybe I'll give myself the weekend off, or, you know, even sometimes when it's not, you know, like the planned day off that Andy would have on a Friday, for example. Andy's just like not showing up to school on Fridays for the year. I don't know what. But like when it's not like that planned day off that you have, sometimes when you're thinking you're meant to be having a productive day, sometimes you just kind of have to throw in the towel, because there's nothing worse than like forcing yourself to study to the point where like you actually are feeling more frustrated and less productive. Have you ever done that?
Yeah, I think, yeah, it definitely comes to a point where you just kind of have to come to terms with the fact that like nothing is going to go into your brain. Because like, yeah, if you do just overload yourself with content when you're not feeling right or whatever, like you're just going to end up feeling worse and probably feeling more guilty than if you just accepted it and said, okay, I'm going to just do something else for today and come back to it tomorrow or whenever it may be. Because, yeah, there's just no point kind of overwhelming yourself more than you need to. We all need breaks, and that's okay.
Yeah, we do need breaks, and that is okay. It's legal. No, you're right, though. Like, you can't just keep going. And again, that feeds into burnout, but even with study guilt as well, sometimes you just have to give in to the guilt a little bit and just think to yourself, okay, well, like this, or like, sorry, say no to the guilt, I guess, and say, no, I'm taking the day off. I can't force myself to study anymore. I'm just going to have to take one for the team here and just chillax. But that is important too. And I feel like kind of to wrap everything up that we've just discussed, it's kind of the overall sentiment is to be a little bit kinder to yourself, I guess, when it comes to study guilt, to not compare yourself to others, you know, to like, do a little bit at a time, keep track of what you're doing so that you feel like you've kind of made some sort of, you know, even if it's just a drop in the ocean, it can make you feel better next time you're feeling guilty to look at, to see the things you've crossed off or see how many hours you've spent on each subject. So it is kind of just putting all these measures in place that kind of alleviate your guilt to make you feel a little bit better about yourself. But like we said, it's not all bad things. Sometimes study guilt can be proof that you want to do well and that you're willing to do well. It's just when it becomes kind of overwhelming and starts impeding the study, then it's gone too far and it's really no use. So I hope that was helpful to you guys. Don't forget about the podcast 10 discount code. You can use it on any of the upgrades on our site, and we're really looking forward to the next podcast, and thanks for listening.